preaching concerning the Lord's church. I believe this is a very important subject today that needs to be understood and, of course, is misunderstood by many, because the Bible teaches that the Lord's kind of church is a local church. He teaches the institutional sense, and then he teaches also that the Lord's church will also be in glory. And there's the three aspects that are given when you divide up the scriptures, the Word of God. You'll never find anything referred to as a universal, invisible church. You won't find it in the Word of God. Now, I believe that as Baptists that we have been slack on the teaching of the Lord's church, and that's why there's so much misunderstanding today, and this is why that people get caught up in practicing that those things which are not scriptural, is because of the lack of teaching concerning the Lord's church. A lot of good people today that are in ignorance, and their intentions are good, but they're going at it all wrong because they don't really know anything about the teaching of the Lord's church. Now, Revelation gives us some thoughts as far with the aspect of being local, and I want you to just follow with me. I'm just going to pick out some verses, and then I will go into what I've been preaching last Sunday night. But in the very first chapter of the book of Revelation, if you'll notice with me, I want you to notice, first of all, in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 4. Now, I want you to notice these verses closely. It says, John to the seven churches, now notice this, which are in Asia. That means they are churches that are located in Asia. They are local churches that are located. It said, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Now, if you will go to the 11th verse of that same chapter, notice what He says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Now notice, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he begins to name them. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now these are seven local churches. They are located in Asia. And it's very clear that the Word of God is talking about specific congregations that are assembled together there, assemblies of baptized believers that are banded together to carry out the commission and to carry out the truth. Now, if you'll go on in that 20th verse of the same chapter, it says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels, and don't let that word throw you. That just means the pastors. It's not that they're angels, but he refers to them as that. The seven stars are the angels or the pastors of the seven churches. And you'll notice in this, and this is the way that each one of these letters are addressed to this local church, they're always addressed to the angel of the church of such and such. In other words, to the pastor of the church of such and such, because, of course, the Lord knows that He had set these pastors over these churches to teach and to preach and to lead and to guide. So He said, the seven stars are the angel of the seven churches. Now notice, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. That's why we refer to a church as having a candlestick. And the candlestick is representative of the presence of God as far as God the Holy Spirit. And the candlestick can be removed. And he talks about that in this passage of Scripture, but now we're not talking about that necessarily tonight, but we're looking with the idea of how that the word churches is referring to local churches. Churches that can be found, churches that can be identified, churches that are made up of people. Now, if you'll notice, in the second chapter and in verse 7, now notice, I want you to share the same thought or idea. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now go to the 8th verse, right under that 7th verse. And he says this, under the angel or under the pastor of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and last, which are dead and is alive. A local church has a pastor. A universal invisible something that people talk about, there cannot be any such thing as a pastor. You can't even get them together. They can't assemble. You can't even get them together at one time. And so we see that he's speaking here of the of a local, in the local sense, of a New Testament Baptist church. Now look in verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And so what he's talking about here is a local church, and this is a local church here, which is at Smyrna. We've already read about the one at Ephesus, but the one at Smyrna. Now, if you'll notice with me, look at verse 12, and it talks about another. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, right. Now, I've said this through the years, and you all know this truth. This is nothing new. God always speaks through His churches, and He speaks through the pastor. That's the way He speaks. And this is the way that God lined it out for the pastor. The Holy Spirit speaks and gives God's message to the pastor, and God's pastor then gives the message to the church. And this is the order, and this is the way. This is the way that God designed for it to be. I've always through the years appreciated men in this church that always respected me as pastor. I've always appreciated that, and I realize that that's been a real blessing to them and a real blessing to me. And so to point out and to show the local church here in verse 12, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." Brother, that's the Word of God. That's what that is. That is the Word of God, but I'm trying to stay away from preaching about these because each one of these is a message itself. Now, if you'll go into the 17th verse, and what we're doing is just noticing here, we're just noticing that these are local visible bodies of baptized believers. They are churches that have been instituted, churches that have been organized, and they are in a location. Look in verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, you know, you can either hear what the Spirit says or you can reject what the Spirit says. You can do that. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it. So what you have is local. But then if you go on to the 18th verse, you see the same thought or the same idea is carried along. He said, under the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Local. A local church. A local assembly. Boy, I'll be repeating that and saying that time and time again. You can't say that enough today. I mean, in the day and the time in which that we live, you cannot say that enough. And so, if you'll go on to the second chapter, also in the second chapter, and you'll find in verse 23, when he was talking about this evil teaching that was there in the church and how that God would deal with it, he said here in verse 23 of the second chapter, "And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches, especially these seven churches here in Asia that are close together, and then other churches will hear also." I'll tell you, one of the great blessings is that the churches that love the Lord and hold the truth of God's Word, they get to know one another. I mean, they may be in Roanoke, Virginia, or they may be in Michigan, or they may be in Ohio, or they may be in Tennessee, but they are the large churches, the large assemblies, and you'll see here in this, he said, I shall know, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But you'll find that this is still with the idea or the thought of a local church, of a local assembly. But then in verse 29, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Very important statement that is made here in verse 29. Now, in the third chapter, and in verse 1, it says, "And still the idea of the local church, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." Look in the sixth verse of the same chapter, and he carries with it the same idea of a local church. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto of the churches." In verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth." Then if you'll see right on in, he's talking here of a local church here in verse 7. But if you go on to 13, it's still the same thing. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Now look at verse 14 when he comes to the seventh one. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And so we see, and he reiterates again in verse 22. He makes this very clear, and it's very important, folks. This is very important. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." In other words, when the Lord leads me to preach something, you either hear it or you don't. If you refuse to hear it, then you'll answer to God for that. You ought never make fun of anything I ever preach or make light of anything I ever preach. You won't have to answer to me. I'm not going to battle you. I'll just turn you over to the Lord. Because the Lord knows how to handle you. He can handle you firsthand. And do it in the right manner and the right way. Now, we had gotten into the subject of the local New Testament Baptist church, and that's what I believe it is. I believe the large churches are Baptist churches. I believe they're Baptist churches that adhere to a standard of truth. Churches that believe the truth and maintain the truth, and they keep that line. They don't compromise. And they stay with it. One of the worst things that can ever happen to any Baptist church is to begin to unionize and compromise. And that's one of the worst things that can ever happen. I believe immediately then that church begins to lose their candlestick. I believe that's exactly when they begin to lose it. It's when they begin to compromise and unionize or whatever concerning the Lord's church. Now, I preached on and in the part of the plan, and there was the one thing that I brought out that I'd got to, and I hadn't got to the second one, but I'd got to the first part, and that was perpetuity. Now, perpetuity is just a word that is commonly used, or we use in the English language, and it just simply means that we'll not go out of existence. To perpetuate, or it means it just to continue on. It means once that it started, it stays in existence. That kind stays in existence. It just merely means that when Jesus began His church during His public ministry, that it still remains today. And it just means that when this dispensation or time is over and we go to eternity, it's not going to end then. It's the perpetuity. Brother Peter and I talked about this last Sunday night after church, and I know Brother Mendoza mentioned this when he talked to me about this a lot because about this subject. And of course, the two words, and sometimes you throw up these words and it sort of throws people when you talk about perpetuity and succession. And it just merely means that when the Lord said, Now thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it means that His church that He built during His public ministry, that kind will not go out of existence. It'll never go out of existence. It'll always be in existence. And it will maintain a standard of truth, regardless as to how much error there is. I thought about it, and someone asked me before the services, and of course, what needs to be done today, all of these false groups, you know, you have to tell who started them. They was talking to me about that the Presbyterians had just signed on that they're going to, take the homosexuals and to enter into the homosexual realm and thing. And the person that started the Presbyterian, the credit's given to a Protestant by the name of John Calvin. Now, Calvin was not a Protestant. Calvin was a Catholic. And when the Reformation came and Calvin said, and some of those fellows said some great things, and some of the things they said, and one of the things they said, the just shall live by faith. And boy, that's a message, and that's a mouthful of truth. That is a sermon within itself. But he just didn't go far enough. His bucket had a hole in it. He just didn't go to the truth. And that's what a lot of people do. They don't go to the truth. You know, you can take false churches and those that don't teach the truth, and people are knocked down the door to get in to hear nothing. That's what they'll do. They'll knock down the door to get in to hear nothing. But that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it'll be. And it'll be even more severe as we come to the end of this, to the end times, as the coming of the Lord. And so John Calvin was the one, you know, as Presbyterians, the Lord didn't start the Presbyterian church. John Calvin did. The Lord started His kind of church during His public ministry, and He gave it perpetuity, and along with that perpetuity came succession. It just means His kind begets kind. And brother, if we by God's grace were allowed to begin another church, we'd begin one just like this one. It would believe the same thing, the same articles of faith and the same doctrines. It would believe the same thing, and it would practice the same things. Amen. And so succession just means that they continued on. Perpetuity is the guarantee of succession that you have. But then the second thing that I wanted us to go into was, not only did the Lord give His church perpetuity, but the Lord gave His church power. Now, in this word power, there's two things that we always think about, and what we think about in the idea of power is that, first of all, authority. A church without any authority don't have any commission. And authority comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ began with the authority, had the authority, and He gave that authority to His church. And brother, that authority has to be passed right on. And that's why, and with that, also, it's also the idea of the word power there is not only authority, But it is the power or the ability. The ability to do, the God-given ability, the Holy Spirit-led ability to do, to carry out the Great Commission. And so, not only did the Lord give His church a perpetuity, but He gave it power. Brother, without that, we'd fall flat on our face. See, what we do in the Lord's work is not in our strength and not in our power. But it is in this, as far as the Lord giving power. Now, we find that first of all, and I was thankful tonight, we were sort of discussing some of this before service, and I was thankful that Brother Bobby, he can always come in. He knows the Lord's taught him well through the years some things, and I'm thankful for that. And the first thing that we had, the Lord commissioned His disciples of the church to go to the Jews. Matthew chapter 10. If you'll notice with me in Matthew chapter 10, and this was the power or the authority that was given. And if you'll notice in that 10th chapter of Matthew, and if you'll notice in verse 1, he talked about with these 12 disciples, and it says here, He gave them power. And He said, against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, I've never cast out any demons and I don't heal anybody, but I'll tell you what, I've met a lot of them. In my ministry, I've met a lot of them. And in myself, I didn't have power, but God gave me power. God gave me the ability, or God gave me the power. There's a lot of demon-possessed people today. There's a lot of people today that are in churches that are bent on destroying God's work. Not building it up, but destroying it. And God always gives us power over those people. He gives us the ability. And that's why His work continues on. If you'll notice in verse 5 down through 7, notice what He said. These 12, now notice, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now look at this. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now you all know, and I know, they weren't going to know who the lost sheep were. We know that. But what He's telling me is not to go to the Gentiles, not to go to the Samaritans, but to go to the Jews. He'll find His sheep. All they got to do is go. And He said here, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And notice the ability they had. He'd already given this power here in verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils freely, have you received, freely give. And He goes on and talks about the rest of that as how that they are going to be provided for as they do that. So He gave, and this is His church, that He gave the power to go to the Jews. To go to the Jewish nation. But then, the same church, He told them something a little bit later on. If you'll go to Luke chapter 24 with me, and if you'll notice, now He's already given them power to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they have, by the grace of God, they have been going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now He is not only going to send them to the Jews, but He's also going to send them to the Gentiles. For look in Luke and here in chapter 24 and in verse 44 down through verse 49. And notice what He said. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And that's the only way you'll ever understand them. You can have been in this church 30 years or 40 years and still not know the Scriptures. You might have it in your head, but if that's all you got, if the only place you've got it, I know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to rebel against the truth when the truth is preached. You want to have it more than in your head. God has to open your understanding, and God has to place it in your heart. You can be, you can sit under the best Sunday school teacher, you can be in the best class, you can sit under the best preacher, you can be in the best church, and still, if God doesn't open your understanding, you won't understand. It's like I tell people that, you know, that the Lord saves them and you know, they become members of our church and they're new members, and they say, well, now, how long is it going to take me to understand this? And I said, I don't know. Some never have understood it, and they've been here a long time. And they still rebel against some things of the truth of God's Word, you know, fleshly speaking. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit has to open your understanding. And yet, the only way that you can ever understand the Scripture, you can have a head knowledge of it, but what really is beneficial to you is when it's in your heart. And what blesses me is when I, different ones of you, when I hear you talking, and you know, a person's talk is to be seasoned with the Word of God. And as you come to believe truths, your talk will then begin to be biblical talk. It'll be like the Bible. And it'll be concerning the truths of God's Word. But he said here in verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, notice, among all nations. Now look here. The first was, just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Just go to the Jews. And that was God's design. But then he said that the gospel should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now notice, and ye are witnesses of these things. Well, now you've just given us power to go to the Jews. How are we going to do it? How are we going to be able to go to all nations? And how are we going to be able to go into all the world? Look at verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But now look, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Who's he telling to tarry there? He's telling his church. He's telling his church there to tarry. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're being endued with power from on high. And that's the way then that you're going to be able to go to all nations. And that's why that, you know, that's why when the Lord leads us to do something, we know we can do it. We quit asking the question a long time ago, where's the money going to come from? Y'all remember when we used to hackle about that all the time? I remember first thing would be asked when we said, where's the money going to come from? That's not the question. The question is the Lord leading? Is it what the Lord wants you to do? Where's the knowledge going to come from? Where's the power going to come from? Where's the ability going to come from? It's going to come from the Lord. That's where it's going to come from. Boy, we, by the grace of God, we do grow, don't we? And churches grow. They grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Christ. So he said now, what I've done here, I've sent you the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've commissioned you as a church. I've given you power to go. And you're going to go, and you're going to go. And there's going to be people that are going to be saved by the grace of God. And he said, now what I want you to do, I want you to go to the Gentiles. Yes, sir, that's us. You know what he said in John 10? Other sheep have I which are not of this fold. What did he say was going to happen to them? They also are going to hear. And he said, I'm going to bring them. There's going to be one fold and one shepherd. What's he talking about? He's talking about there's not only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but there's some lost sheep among the Gentiles. And they're going to be brought into one fold as far as being saved by the grace of God. And some of these the Lord is going to add to his church. And what happened is, you know, and you know, you just follow this up. It's just a real, it's a real glorious and simple truth. And the Lord did get them all assembled over there. They tarried over at Jerusalem. I'm not going to turn there, but you all know it. And it says, and the names of them was about 120. About 120. See, that was more than just the disciples, more than just these 12 that he started out with, but there was already 120. And you know, they were Jews. Every one of them was Jews. Every one of them was according to God's design, and they were Jews. And so they were over there, and they were waiting on the Lord, and the Lord was going to do something for them, and he did. And he said, and I quote this often, think about this, and he said in Acts 1:8, and he said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And then he said, both. Now they've done been witnesses to him, to the Israelites, but he said, thou shalt be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and said, and the uttermost parts of the earth and the world. What you call a commission, an extended commission. And the way that that was going to be able to be carried out was by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, when you go witnessing and teaching and preaching, you go with the authority of the Jesus Christ, because you're a member of one of the Lord's churches. And you have that authority. You have that authority in and through that church. You have that authority that He has given to that church. A lot of people try to fudge in on that authority. They try to say they have the commission, but it wasn't given to them. I listened to some folks over at Newby Baptist Church at Richmond. They sang, and well, there's a song in our book, we've never got around to singing. It talks about, you know, how many of them started churches and they were so many years too late. How many, you know, false churches? They were too late because their founder wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were too late. And they have no commission. And so what you find is then you have these that are here at Jerusalem, and what he does, he imbues them with power, and then then you know what happens to them is like most Baptists do. They sort of get to liking it and all get up together, and then the Lord has to scatter them. And they said, well, we sort of like this metropolis. You know, we sort of like this metropolis. We sort of like this place here. And this is, it's not what he said, but in essence, that's what they were doing. And then what happens is, the Lord said, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. And he said, and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And what he did was, he sent Saul of Tarsus in Acts 8:1 and scattered them, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And then you see churches springing up of the same kind all over. Paul and Barnabas organized a church, you know, at Antioch. They were members of the church at Jerusalem, and then they became members at Antioch. And you remember I mentioned this before, and then they went as missionaries in Acts 13:1. Because it said, and there was in the church. They went as missionaries, going as members of a local church with church authority, and by the power and the authority, they went forth and organized other churches of the same kind. Now that's succession. The perpetuity is the guarantee of the promise that God has given. And so what we find, this procedure has continued into now. And so this power here he gave. And so they had gone to the lost sheep of Israel. Now they would go to all nations, and they would be endued with power, extended power, to go to all nations. He again reminded this church when they were assembled at Jerusalem. He did that in that first part of Acts. The fulfillment of that promise was in Acts chapter 2. Now, as one of his churches, we have the same power today to go with a commission into all the world. And see, that's why we continually go back and, you know, we go over these verses, and what preaching is just going over the same truths right over and over and over and over. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Not anything new under the sun. Not anything new. You go all the way back and look at the impact of this now is what it says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 down through 20. Now, I know I've used this, and Lord knows I'll use it time and time again until the Lord comes. And here's what he says in the 18th verse, and he's speaking concerning the Lord's church, his church, and he said, this is a local assembly, wherever it is, the Lord's kind of church. And he said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And what's he say? Now this power is yours. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's a lot different from what he told them in the 10th chapter, isn't it? And then he said, teaching them, and here it is, to observe. I can't emphasize enough the observance, to observe. To know a truth and never to observe it is like not knowing it at all. And many people today know truths, and they can say, well, we know this. Well, why don't you practice it? If you know it, why don't you practice it? If you really know it, you practice it. If you really know a truth, if the Holy Spirit has really taught you a truth, you observe it. You do it. And so what we have is this power was given to the Lord, to His churches, and this power enables them to evangelize and also to organize other New Testament Baptist churches.
Now when we
have done this in the past, we have been privileged by the grace of God to organize some New Testament Baptist churches. And every time that we have always made it very clear that this church is being organized by the authority of Olmsted Baptist Church. Authority has to start somewhere. To have authority, you have to receive authority. And the authority that the Lord is talking about begins with Him. And it has been perpetuated down, or by succession, it has come down even till this present day and time. I believe this is one of the most exciting times that I've ever lived in my ministry. I see so much falling away from the truth, and I believe that God's people will tighten up their loins. They'll gird up their loins. And they'll stand. Now, we may have to meet at midnight in one of y'all's houses before this thing's over. Then we'll find out how many of us believe the truth. You say, oh, don't kid yourself. Can't you all already see the handwriting on the wall? Well, certainly I can. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an alarmist. I'm just stating some facts. May God give us grace. See, we're losing our freedom. The world and the government and the religious world is gradually taking our freedoms away from us. And if we don't become one of them, now you can become one of them and make it just fine as far as they're concerned. But that's where we stand, and may God help us by His grace. Well, we're going to stand and sing a hymn in closing if the Lord's speaking to you tonight. I know that if you're here and you're not saved by the grace of God, the great need that you have right now is to be saved by the grace of God. And then we also pray that when God saves a person, that He'll be pleased to add them to this church, where they can be edified and built up in the faith and taught the truth of God's Word. And much of this teaching comes from me, but much of it comes from you. Much of the teaching of new converts comes from me, from the pulpit, and to the new converts, much of the teaching that comes from you comes from your lives, how you live, and what you do. It's not always necessarily what you say, it's what you do, and it's how you live. And I pray that God would give us grace to live. We're going to stand and sing.